Although opinion of America Matters Media.
You're listening to The Chip Evans Show, the home for community talk among patriotic, flag-waving, Pledge of Allegiance-saying, Constitution-protecting liberals. You're invited to come to our Reno Town Mall studio or call in or send a comment or question to our Facebook page. Now here's Chip Evans.
Welcome back, dear audience. Paul Malachowski guest hosting for Chip Evans on The Chip Evans Show, proudly sponsored by the NAACP Reno Sparks Chapter, the Central Labor Council of Northern Nevada, Building and Constructions Trade Council of Northern Nevada, Democratic Women of Washoe County, and last but not least, the Evans Coaching Group. We're back after having a very lively and several topic discussion with Eric Holland. We're now going to focus a little more, but again, it seems like the common denominator today has been what goes on in the Nevada legislature and how that plays out. I'm proud to have an old friend of mine, Mickey Yasmer, who's a part of the drug and alcohol treatment community, licensed professional. He'll tell us a little bit about himself and his background. And the topic I want to discuss today is something that has been in the popular media here in Nevada, become a part of recent legislation in several legislative sessions dating back, I don't know how long, but it seems like a long time. That topic is medical marijuana. And what we have today here in Washoe County is apparently there is a medical marijuana dispensary somewhere out in Sparks. It sounds like it hasn't really generated any problems that have reached public perception yet, but I know that there are a lot of different viewpoints on whether or not medical marijuana is all it's cracked up to be and what the downsides of that might be. So welcome, Mickey Yasmer. Why don't you tell me and our audience a little bit about yourself and kind of where you're coming from on our discussion today.
Okay. Well, thank you, Paul. Nice to see you again. I was working in retail grocery in the Reno Sparks area for 31 years and ran over a lot of people's feet with shopping carts, I'm quite certain, and got out of that, went back up to university and decided to do something positive with my life and give back to other people. So I got a degree in social work and addiction therapy, and now I spend my days talking to people about drugs, alcohol, and how's your life working, and if it's not working the way you want it to, why do you think that is? And what's the interference there? So marijuana is probably the single biggest hot button of all the different things that I deal with on a regular basis. There is nothing so polarizing as marijuana. When you bring it up in discussion with different people in my group sessions, they go to both sides of the issue. And, you know, there's not a lot of middle ground there. So people are really, really against it, or they think it is the most benign herb on the planet and should be legal and free for everyone. So, you know, finding the truth is really hard to do.
Well, you know, we've had a fair amount of discussion. I was surprised that the subject came up in the most recent Democratic presidential debates. We've got candidates now openly and actively saying that jail time for simple marijuana possession probably should be a thing of the past and swept by the wayside in history. As a practicing lawyer, I do very little criminal defense, but one of the things I am aware of is that first-time marijuana possession in the state of Nevada is mandatory no jail time. Mm-hmm. So it looks like, you know, even states such as ours, you know, with the legislature only meeting every 2 years and in kind of a crammed, get it all done at once format, really has listened to, I guess, a national trend towards decriminalization. Now, there's a difference between that, I'm sure, than having a medical marijuana dispensary here in our community and probably several over time. What are your clients saying about that trend in relation to their own issues that you're dealing with, you know, for them?
Well, we have one of the only exclusive marijuana treatment programs in Northern Nevada. We have one session a week that's exclusively for my pot smokers, and they're a fascinating group to spend some time with. They come in with a variety of different experiences and opinions, and many of them possess marijuana cards, medical marijuana cards, and feel that is their, you know, excuse to really do whatever it is they want. And that's not necessarily true. You can have a medical marijuana card and you can still get yourself a DUI for smoking and driving under the influence of that drug. You can still wind up having an on-the-job accident and losing your means of employment for that reason. So it's not necessarily the happy days that a lot of pot smokers are thinking that it is. With the wave of legitimacy that's going across the country right now, you're right, Paul, is a tidal wave, and it starts with the compassionate use argument for medical marijuana, and then they follow that a couple of years down the road with recreational use, and that's the way it's going in the state of Nevada.
How many of your clients are voluntarily referring themselves to treatment or kind of being intervened rather than coming up against legal problems that pretty much require them to visit some licensed professionals such as yourself?
They're almost all legally mandated, almost all of them, for DUIs or sanctions at work or employee assistance programs or such.
Okay. And are you seeing an increase in EAP referrals, say, or court referrals because of the greater acceptance, if you will, and the fact that medical marijuana now is a legal substance here in the state?
Oh, yes. It's with legitimization comes increased use, and that's just a fact. Other people will argue to the contrary, but it's a fact. The more legal it gets, the more it will be used, and the more certain people will have problems with it. Not everyone that smokes marijuana has a problem with smoking marijuana. I mean, I understand that. Same thing with alcohol. Most people drink alcohol, don't have a problem with alcohol. But 10% of the people that drink alcohol have a problem with drinking alcohol. Same thing with marijuana. Roughly 9% of those who smoke weed have some problems in their life that really, really need to be addressed.
Okay, so the fact that something is decriminalized or is legitimized through commerce is not the end of the story, as you see in your own practice.
No, not at all, not at all. With the wave of decriminalization and legalization that's coming, and it will be legal in Nevada recreationally before too long, that's just a fact. We have to think about, you know, what is it we're doing and what are our priorities here, and what are we going to do to help those 9% of the people that are going to have difficulties? There's a great amount of money to be made with marijuana. That's quite evident with all of the people, some of our civic leaders, pouring lots of money into getting their foot in the door on this thing, because there's a lot of money to be made for it. But, you know, and the taxation will be massive. There will be a huge tax increase, you know, tax generated from marijuana sales. But the thing is what's the actual cost? If you look at alcohol and you figure out what are the costs of alcohol as far as to the public, we tax the hell out of alcohol. But what's the cost? And if you look at the totals, alcohol is a negative tax generator. Same will be true for marijuana.
And that's something that really is the other side of the coin here, that coin being the tax revenues that all the politicians who are in favor or voicing approval for both medical and recreational marijuana, in their localities, in their states, they're looking just at the additional tax revenue and not at the costs, the internal costs that expanded legalization are necessarily going to create. If alcohol is a 10% problem of users and medical marijuana or marijuana in general is 9%, they're very comparable. How much of the current taxation of medical marijuana is going toward addressing problems that might result in the need for treatment, hospitalization, those types of services that wouldn't necessarily be imposed in the absence of that kind of legalized situation?
Well, as far as I'm aware, it's probably the equivalent of what's being spent from alcohol taxation. Nothing, which is a shame. That's a real shame.
We've talked about the legislature with previous guests and whatnot. Is there an organization of treatment professionals, like yourself, who would be able to at some point lobby when the next legislative discussion about recreational marijuana comes online and they're talking about tax revenues? Can you get some of that earmarked perhaps through organized lobbying efforts and that sort of thing to anticipate and deal with problems before they come up?
Well, there's a group, Paul, in Colorado called SAM. They're Sensible Approach to Marijuana Laws. And it's real common sense people. And they're the ones that are telling a lot of the truth about what's really going on in the state of Colorado. It's not all glitter and rainbows. There's problems going on there. Colorado's having a lot of trouble enforcing its laws, and they pretty much let the barn door fly open and all the horses are running free. So they're one of the big groups that was very active in Ohio when actually Ohio voted down their legalization law.
Okay. We'll talk a little bit more about SAM and experiences in states like Colorado where the problems that might be anticipated have already been realized at the after the break with Mickey Asmer.
Hi, this is Eddie Floyds. I want to tell you about the Wainema Ranch. As a matter of fact, I'm going to invite you to visit Wainema Ranch for one reason. You can visit them online right now and help out where you can with our American heritage, the wild horses and burros at the Wainema Ranch. It is right here north of Reno, Nevada. That's WainemaRanch.com, W-Y-N-E-M-A Ranch.com. Get involved. Visit us today and see why I say my wife runs the ranch and I run my mouth.
Check out one of the Truckee Meadows' best-kept secrets, the Reno Town Mall.
Located across the street from the Atlantis Casino Resort, the Reno Town Mall is just steps from the Reno Sparks Convention Center and is home to a variety of merchants, including a full-service grocery store, food source,
and the all-new Nevada First Gift Shop and Visitor Center.
Other tenants at the Reno Town Mall include the Washoe County Library,
Burlington Coat Factory,
Marshall's Bridal,
A Proper Fit Footwear, and Access to Healthcare Network.
This unique urban mall will fit in perfectly with your busy lifestyle.
Stop at the Aroma Club Cafe for your morning coffee, or perhaps a quick business lunch at Round Table Pizza.
The Reno Town Mall is also home to the Reno Sparks Convention and Visitors Authority,
Northern Nevada Job Connect,
the Great Works of China Import Store, and America Matters Media.
Come join the audience as we air live radio shows.
Stop by the Reno Town Mall today
at Peckham in South Virginia
for the best Reno has to offer.
Let me tell you about Victor Valdez and his family at Precision Diamonds. Just check out my wife's finger and you'll see a wedding set that I got from Precision Diamonds. Check out Dennis Romeo's wife's finger and you'll check a wedding set that he picked up from Precision Diamonds. They've moved. They have their own brand new location. It's 4145 South Virginia and their phone number is 775-289-8282. They're giving away free. You heard me right. $5 to $10 value watch batteries. All you have to do is donate to Wainema Ranch. And when you're in Precision Diamonds, they will give you a free watch battery. Remember, that address, 4145 South Virginia. Their phone number is 775-829-8282.
The Northern Nevada Rave Family Foundation is a nonprofit organization that provides respite care to families caring for children with special needs. At the Rave Family Center, children with special needs, children in foster care, and their siblings get one-on-one attention while their caregivers get a much-needed and deserved break. Rave provides a safe and loving environment where all children are viewed as unique and capable individuals. For more information about the Northern Nevada Rave Family Foundation, visit them online at raveforkids.org.
Okay, we're back on the Chip Evans Show. Paul Malachowski guest hosting for Chip Evans. We're continuing on with our guest, Mickey Asburn, a licensed substance abuse and alcohol counselor. We've been talking about medical marijuana. We've been talking about the apparent direction that the state of Nevada is going towards recreational marijuana. Now, you know, Nevadan and Nevadans have been very accustomed to alcohol use and abuse since the end of Prohibition, and certainly our casino industry is been very much entwined with the availability and consumption of alcohol in their establishments. It's just part of the experience. But if we go to liquor stores or beer outlets and we buy a bottle of vodka, we buy a six pack of beer, we pretty much know what we're getting into with commercially available alcohol through licensed sources. What's the difference between that business environment and the new medical marijuana and possibly recreational marijuana business models that are developing here in the state and elsewhere, Mickey?
Well, you're right. The Reno-Sparks area actually ranks in the top 10 as the drunkest cities in America on every survey every year. So go Reno. And but the difference is that with alcohol, since the repeal of prohibition, the proof, the intensity of alcohol has not risen steadily over the years. And what we've experienced with marijuana is that THC, the active ingredient in marijuana, has been concentrated and bred over the years into some very, very specialized forms of marijuana. You know, face it, Paul, the I don't know about you, but the pot that I smoked in college was 3% THC, and it was truly an innocuous, benign little herb and really didn't cause a lot of problems for most folks. However, over the years, that has changed, and now if you go to Colorado and you walk into the Walmart of weed and you buy yourself a bag of purple Kush, you're going to walk out the door with something that's running about 27% THC. Now, what has really changed in the background is that, you know, that that type of drug wasn't good enough for most people. And so as with cocaine, that wasn't good enough. So they had to turn it into crack, which was way more concentrated. They had to do the same thing with methamphetamines. And now you have ice, which is way more potent. And now they have run marijuana through a butane process, and that produces concentrated THC products, which are called, you know, shatter or dabs or bud or butter or whatever it is. And now you're talking about a product that has 75% THC concentration. That, in a lot of places, is being considered as a medical marijuana product, which is ridiculous. We're talking about a drug that has a potency that can do all sorts of things that no one expected. Now, if you go to the legislatures that are being presented with these medical marijuana compassionate laws, and people mention marijuana, those gentlemen and ladies in the legislatures are thinking about the weed that they knew way, way back in the day. And they're not realizing that things have changed. The landscape has changed with these intoxicants.
And that in order to be competitive, just like in any other business, you want it bigger, faster, and cheaper. Mm-hmm. Price is pretty much going to be controlled by the level of taxation. And so I don't think there's much that one dispensary can do vis-a-vis another. But certainly the potency is something that will eventually get out to the public. Currently, do your clients seem to be looking for the better high and then finding that it then caused them problems after a fairly benign initial experience with either medical marijuana or just street drugs?
Well, my experience is that most of the clients, most of the individuals that I work with, which is the criminally mandated population, those that have experience with marijuana also have a wide variety of experience with concentrated marijuana, as well as a lot of other different types of illicit narcotics and things like that. They are very experienced people. The idea that marijuana is a gateway drug is really ridiculous. It's absolutely not true. But the mindset that goes along with people that smoke pot is that they're curious and they're adventurous and they want to explore. And so they're very willing to try the next thing that somebody taps them on the shoulder and presents to them.
What cohort of the marijuana patients that you're seeing, clients that you're seeing, also express a problem with the historically legal alcohol?
Oh, quite a number. Smoking pot and drinking alcohol go hand in hand for a lot of people. It's not an exclusive type of thing. That gets to be additionally problematic because when you use alcohol with marijuana, alcohol increases the rate at which THC is absorbed by the brain. So you get a lot more loaded when you drink and you smoke at the same time.
And I'm sure there are a lot of personal experiences out there that can attest to that.
Absolutely.
But today, we know that there are a couple of jurisdictions, entire states, the states of Colorado, Washington, Colorado probably being at the forefront in terms of accessibility and perhaps the marketing that you're concerned about. What do the folks there who share your concerns, what are they doing in terms of public education, and then what types of actions are they advocating to address problems that are developing in these newly legalized jurisdictions?
Well, what I'm noticing in dealing with the people from SAM in Colorado is that there's pockets of discontent among the citizens of Colorado. There are entire communities in Colorado State that you cannot have marijuana, you can't sell it, distribute it, possess it, because they just don't want it in their communities. Like I said earlier, a lot of the laws are not being enforced in Colorado, which is causing a lot of problems. The states of Nebraska and Kansas have filed lawsuits against the state of Colorado because of this. They're not enforcing their laws. Individuals are crossing the state borders with large quantities of marijuana in their vehicles. They're being arrested by those neighboring states, and those states have to foot the bill for prosecution, and they're not at all happy about it. So it's the idea that, you know, you're only supposed to be able to buy a certain small quantity of marijuana in Colorado. How are people buying trunkfuls of the stuff to smuggle out of state for illicit sale? It's obvious that Colorado is not enforcing their laws. That's overinflating the tax money that they seem to be making, that they're wallowing in money, but it's because they need to enforce their laws.
Well, I think there might be as much a supply and demand equation involved in that than, you know, except for the quality control that the state of Colorado presumably mandates on its product. I mean, if you get Colorado Gold or Purple Kush or whatever you're referring to, it's kind of a known quantity versus what the cartel might bring up from Mexico or elsewhere.
Exactly.
Is there really a problem in Colorado, considering there appears to be a local option? And that holds true, as I understand, the California Medical Marijuana or Compassionate Use facilities. There are simply areas in L.A. that are no buzz zones.
Right.
And do you think that if the Nevada legislature is contemplating an expansion of medical marijuana or recreational, that there would be a way for this local option to at least modify the problems that are being experienced in Colorado and its adjoining states?
I would certainly hope that that our state would look at the experiences of other states and learn from it. Washington State certainly looked at Colorado, and they decided they were not going to legalize the concentrated marijuana products in Washington State. They are legal in Colorado. So there's a lot of things to be learned. The medibles, the edible marijuana products are very concentrated, and they're wildly different in their concentrations and sometimes inaccurately labeled. So those have to be looked at. The main problem, I think, with marijuana that we have to look at medically, it actually goes to the fact that we've got the cart before the horse. It is against the law federally. Marijuana is a Schedule I controlled substance, and it is not legal to do a thing with it. And so right now, Obama's administration has turned a blind eye to that. But there's a number of individuals riding around in the little clown car on the other side of the aisle. And if one of those individuals moves into 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, they could close down every marijuana dispensary there is in the country, if they so chose to do.
And that raises another issue. Although there is this blanket federal prohibition, I don't think most irrational people would say that marijuana really falls into Schedule I category. And because of that inconsistency, I think the states, when they do legalize either medical marijuana or recreational, they're not thumbing their nose at the government, but just recognizing that there is this incongruity that is something that, first of all, it does seem to prevent medical research. And I think that in the absence of medical research, there's still a lot of open questions about the efficacy of medical marijuana, ones that are THC reduced or, you know, kind of caffeine-free marijuana, for want of a better term. I think there probably is some medical use for it, which is in effect prohibited by virtue of the federal law.
Absolutely,
today.
Absolutely. There's about 60 different strains of substances in a marijuana plant. THC is the intoxicant that makes people feel good, but there's another substance called CBD that's found in marijuana, and that is the substance that does not get you loaded, but it does have all the medical beneficial aspects to it. That you can purchase in certain dispensaries, but most people with a medical marijuana card are obviously not looking for CBD. They're using the medical marijuana card for one purpose. That's not to treat an illness, it's to get high, which I find personally rather offensive to, you know, considering the individual who has some life-threatening, horrible disease, and this medical marijuana is going to improve the quality of their life. I think those are people that really deserve to have any substance they can made available to them to improve the quality of their existence.
So even, given your background and the clientele that you're advocating for and helping with, there's probably some room after appropriate research to, at least in a narrow sense, give medical marijuana an even break, but we just haven't arrived there yet.
No, we haven't. It needs to be lowered to a lower scheduled drug. It needs to be studied according to the AMA's request, and it needs to be provided to the people that need it.
How can citizens engage their elected representatives to be aware of these issues?
I would really invite people to look for SAM online and start collecting information from them. That's
very
a great
good.
Way to start.
Okay, thanks. Mickey Gasmer, licensed treatment professional here on the Chip Evans Show.
Just check out my wife's finger and you'll see a wedding set that I got from Precision Diamonds. Check out Dennis Romeo's wife's finger and you'll check a wedding set that he picked up from Precision Diamonds. They've moved. They have their own brand new location. It's 4145 South Virginia. And their phone number is 775-289-8282. They're giving away free, you heard me right, $5 to $10 value watch batteries. All you have to do is donate to Wainema Ranch, and when you're in Precision Diamonds, they will give you a free watch battery. Remember that address, 4145 South Virginia. Their phone number is 775-829-8282. I'd like to tell you about a new business in town called Strike Automotive Home and Roadside Service. You heard me right. You do not need to have full coverage insurance to let them come and service your vehicle. You, as a customer, call your insurance and request for their services. Now, let me tell you, they do diagnostic, jump starts, tire changes, and repair. So are you locked out of your car? Well, give them a call. How about fuel delivery and much, much more? I'm talking about Strike Automotive Home and Roadside Service for your needs. Now, let me give you their phone number. It's 775-276-4730. You better write it down and keep it in your wallet. It's 775-276-4730. Check out all their services on strikesautomotive.com.
My name is Tom Thornton.
And my name is Cindy Thornton. We've been married 38 years, we're retired, and this is how we live united.
We play golf and we travel, but we also decided we were going to give to and volunteer with United Way at our community free health clinic.
I do the nursing at the clinic.
I work the front office, checking in patients, greeting them, making them feel comfortable.
United Way is how we contribute, because we know our time and money are going to the right places, the places that need it most and implement it best.
Judging by the thank yous we get at the clinic, I'd say we're doing the right thing with our retirement, too.
We even get a few bless yous. It's incredible.
We're Tom and Cindy Thornton. We volunteer at our community free health clinic, so we don't just wear the shirt.
We live it.
Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back on the Chip Evans Show. I'm Paul Malachowski, your guest host for Chip Evans. We've had a wonderful array of guests so far this afternoon. We're going to finish up our three-hour program today with my friend and colleague, fellow artist, Kevin Karp. Kevin's a local attorney. He is also part of the band Baker Street. We're going to talk about those things, or you know, whatever else comes to mind in a short while. But I'd like to talk the first 12-minute segment of this segment of the show with Kevin about Sheep Dip. And I want to tell you, I've been involved in community theater now for closing on 20 years. Our engineer and our guest have been involved in Reno Little Theater, which I'm presently involved in years even preceding that. What got you involved in Sheep Dip, Kevin, besides being a natural-born ham?
Well, actually, I did Sheep Dip for the 25th Sheep Dip, which was a long time ago now. But the friend of mine who got me involved at that point died a few months later, so I really didn't want to do it again. But then Barbara Finley, who we all know, Judge Finley, retired Judge Finley, helped with perform my son's wedding. And when my wife and I went to try to pay her for her time, she refused to take it. But we said, Barbara, what can we do? And she said, well, it just so happens I'm producing Sheep Dip. So that was 3 years ago, and this will be our third in a row that we've done.
Well, it's been a fantastic cause for charity, a community event. Talk about getting people from across the aisle together. Sheep Dip, to me, is something. I sat behind Don Gibbons 1 year. You know, there are any number of people who are either, you know, parodied, slandered, whatever you want to call it. But everyone does it, you know, in a very good nature. I'm pretty good friends with Brent Boynton, who's been announcing that for a while. Of course, Dave Finley and his lovely wife, Judge Finley, have been involved in Sheep Dip for a long, long time. I think it's just such a great Reno Sparks, you know, Northern Nevada tradition that is continued by, you know, individuals such as yourself and Judge Finley trying to pass that torch on. Can you give us, I know that you've been rehearsing down at the Sparks Nugget, and that's when the shows are going to go on. First of all, while I've got this in the forefront of my mind, when are the shows and what are the ticket costs this year, if you know?
The shows are next Friday and Saturday night, January 22nd and 23rd. Doors open at 7:30, curtain goes up at 8. Ticket prices are $35. There were VIP tickets, but I think as of yesterday they were sold out, I'm glad to say. But it's in the Nugget Showroom, which holds quite a few people. It's very rare, unfortunately, for Sheep Dip to sell out the showroom. So we don't. Nobody has to worry that they'll get there and not have a seat. We usually do have 500 or 600 people, but the showroom holds even more. So as usual, as you said before, it's a funny, funny show. Every governor in the last 52 years, except one, has fully cooperated with Sheep Dip, both sides of the aisle. They both understand, one, it's for charity, and two, it goes with being governor to be roasted, if you will, one way or the other. So, Governor Sandoval's at this point scheduled to be there Friday night, if I remember correctly.
Oh, good. And that's fantastic. There's a... I guess the continuity of having some of the most prominent elected officials not only endorsing but participating in the program is something that really is rare. I don't see Governor Brown in California getting involved in those things. I think Mayor Giuliani you know, like to perform in drag from time to time. But other than that, you know, which might have been a little extreme for Nevadans, the tone of Sheep Dip has always been respectful, but as you say, funny. Who writes the skits? Who's involved in the actual content here?
There are approximately 100 local members of the community that participate either in the writing or the production. It is all completely written locally, completely performed locally. It's everybody donates their time, and so we start writing Sheep Dip in August of the year before a January performance.
Okay. Do you get involved in any of the writing? I know you're a pretty good writer. I mean, in my line of work anyway. What kind of work do you do on the content end?
I did a little bit of writing with it last year. This year I didn't have an opportunity to do it. This year I'm performing in it. I'm in a routine at the beginning of the show called Old White Guys Rapping. And then I'm in also a routine called Midtown Funk, done to the music of Uptown Funk, the Bruno Mars song that's so popular these days.
Well, that's great. I'm looking forward to seeing Midtown Funk because I'm currently involved on the board of Reno Little Theater. We have become what I consider to be the cultural ground zero of the Midtown area right there at South Wells and Arroyo Streets. We have kind of a campus of sorts developing there, which is our crown jewel, of course, the new Reno Little Theater there at 147 East Pueblo. What Midtown Funk message is being conveyed in that skit, if you can give us a little bit of a spoiler, not too much?
Well, for those of us, you and I being two of those people that remember 30 years ago, it compares Midtown to the way it used to be to what it is now. Even though a few of the places it makes fun of from 30 years ago I remember fondly, but that I was a lot younger then, and then it goes into the places that are there now.
Okay, well that's great. Other skits that you're not involved with, can you give me a little taste of what they will involve?
We have a skit regarding cannabis. No surprise there. These days we have a skit regarding the Nevada legislature and their attempts at passing, or at least one particular legislator's attempts at passing open carry laws on school and college campuses. We have a skit regarding the tax fight that occurred in the legislature. We have a video regarding, we call it sibling rivalry between the solar energy industry and Envy Energy. Of course, we have a Shaft Award, but I can't go into who's going to be nominated for that.
No, I would not. I would not go there with you because that really is the peak of the performance that I've seen over the years, and I know that it has a special meaning to the audience, to the cast, and I'm sure to the writers. Kevin, how large is the cast, and who works behind the scenes? How do you get involved in helping out the folks who eventually get on stage in costume on time, knowing their lines?
Well, first of all, we're always interested in new people. So if anyone is interested in finding out about participating with next year's Sheep Dip, all they have to do is go to sheepdipshow.com. And they'll get contact information, and we're always looking for new people to join us. In terms of what people do what they're capable of doing. You know, I've been a performer since I was 5 years old, so it's natural for me to perform. Other people are writers. Ron Smith, a very well-known local television and radio personality, has actually been with Sheep Dip for every year of the 52 years it's been going on. So whatever you like to do, we have writers, painters, costumers, musicians, you name it, we could use you. If you think you have no talent, and I'm not sure I've ever met anybody that fits into that category, but a lot of people think they don't. If you think you have no talent, come and you can help if it's just moving things around and or getting things organized. I mean, we never turn anybody away.
Well, no, and you and I have been involved in organizations. I remember seeing you 5 years ago down at the Brewery Arts Center. That was a wonderful performance. I think it was one of the nonsense plays. And I know that you are a talented performer. One of the things we'll get to in the next segment today is your band Baker Street and kind of going full circle. But getting back to Sheep Dip itself, I think that everything, every skit that you have just generally described is something not only current, but I've only been at this show for 2 weeks now. This is my maiden voyage. It was last Monday, and now today I'm pretty much on my own with it. But it seems like every single issue that Sheep Dips is intending to cover in this weekend's show are things that my guests, and for that matter, our audience, are very interested in. And although they are very controversial, you folks are able to present it in, I won't say necessarily a balanced fashion, but a humorous fashion. Do you think that helps, lessen kind of the partisan tension and turmoil that can develop in our community and in the state in particular?
Well, the majority of people on both sides of the aisle at least have a sense of humor. I mean, we've discovered a few exceptions to that rule in Sheepdip, but generally it's true. And so if you present it with humor, then nobody takes it personal and they laugh along with everybody else. So, oops, that's me. I'm sorry. I thought I could have sworn I turned that off. I'm sorry about that.
We'll do that now.
Okay. There, it's done. So, and plus people remember what it's for. Last year we donated, if I recall correctly, $12,000 and $15,000 to Honor Flight of Nevada. This year, the donations are going to be for Honor Flight and for Evelyn Mount Community Chest, I believe, is the title of her organization. So all the money goes to charity. If you buy tickets, it's tax deductible. We're a 501c3 organization.
Wow, I didn't know that. I do know that Evelyn Mount gets great press around Thanksgiving and the holidays, but this is a nice bump for that organization, which has already proved itself in this community as being a very good charity, working pretty much on a year-round basis and has year-round funding needs. So I'm glad about that.
Well, last Friday it was really funny. We were talking about my band, but while I was performing with my band, a gentleman, and I was talking about Sheepdip, a gentleman walked up to me who was in his 90s and said that he came to listen to the band, but he also said that he had gone with Honor Flight to Washington, D.C. because he was a World War II veteran. And he shook my hand and said thank you for the music, but he also really appreciated what Sheepdip is doing for Honor Flight of Nevada.
Okay, and I wasn't aware of the extent of that charitable work that's being done. It sounds like neither of them are particularly controversial, but very necessary in this community. When we get back from the break, Kevin, we're going to talk a little more about your performances with Baker Street. I didn't know you had 90-year-old groupies. I'm glad to know that. My dad's also a World War II veteran, 92, and when I called him on Father's Day, he told me he was checking his blood pressure on his Apple Watch. Go figure. We'll be right back.
Northern Nevada's Building and Construction Trade Council is working for a better community for all of us.
We've been partners with local contractors since 1928 to provide qualified, safe, and productive workers. Workers trained in the latest technologies and methods to perform the highest standards of quality and efficiency.
We save taxpayers money by assuring union workers and their families have medical insurance and pension benefits so they won't need public assistance. We also work to keep unqualified contractors with their shoddy work practices from building our bridges, schools, and public buildings.
Our Building and Construction Trades Council supports good jobs in our community. Jobs with a livable wage, basic health and retirement benefits, a safe work environment, and the pride that comes from knowing we are building a better Northern Nevada.
For more information about our local Building and Construction Trades Council, go to bctnn.org. That's bctnn.org. Or call 775-355-9200.
Support the quality contractors who employ skilled union tradesmen. We build it right the first time.
Did you know that Noble Pie Parlor has been voted best pizza in Northern Nevada 5 times? They make deliciously different pizzas with the freshest ingredients, like house-made meatballs and sausage, caramelized fennel and onion, and Granny Smith apples. Noble has excellent options for health-conscious pizza fans, too, including vegan and gluten-free, and they always buy the best local produce at places like our Great Basin Food Co-op. The award-winning Noble Pie Parlor has also been voted Best Wings and won the Wing Fest Championship 3 times for their famous Pittsburgh-style wings. Noble Pie Parlor has a great weekend brunch, too. Check out the Cow's Omelet and build your own Bloody Mary. Noble even has a full bar with local beers and creative cocktails like the Grey Fox with homemade Earl Grey syrup. Noble also caters and delivers. They're located at 239 West 2nd Street next to the El Cortez Hotel. Call 775-622-9222. That's 622-9222. Or visit NoblePieParlor.com.
This is Nnamdi Asamoah. I play football for the Philadelphia Eagles, but what I do off the field with United Way might be more important. I'm a volunteer tutor and mentor. Why? Because over 1 million kids a year drop out of school, and that's not okay. It takes 12 years to create a graduate, but it takes about the same time to create a dropout. And the difference between a child becoming one or the other could be me, or it could be you. Studies show that if we get to these kids earlier, their chances are better. and kids who read well by third grade are more likely to graduate. So join me in United Way. Suit up and take the pledge. Become a volunteer reader, tutor, or mentor. Because when a child succeeds, we all succeed. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way, the Ad Council, and the National Football League.
Okay, we're back on the air on the Chip Evans Show. Paul Maligowski guest hosting. And our engineer reminded me that there's another aspect of the Sheep Dip Show that ties right into the veterans' flights and travel and whatnot that we were discussing with Kevin Karp, our guest, before the break. Kevin, can you elaborate a little bit on some of the special deals for veterans for this year's Sheep Dip shows?
Yes, my pleasure. Thursday night's final dress rehearsal is $15 for veterans. So if they go online to sheepdipshow.com or call the Nugget and ask about the veterans list, they can get on the list for Thursday night's performance for $15. And we're hoping that's a special, because of our connection to Honor Flight and also in honor of all veterans in the community, Sheep Dip does that.
That's amazing. And I think that although I've never seen a full dress of Sheep Dip, that you guys, considering you start in August and here we are, towards the end of January, and this goes on, year in, year out that way, that you've probably got a really tight show for that Thursday night, and the veterans will not feel like they're getting a second-class presentation from you guys.
I'm happy to say that in prior years, they seem to definitely be having a good time.
Yeah, well, and that's good. And I know that there were, in the years that I've been going, cocktail servers going around. There's nice seating. It's a place where you can really unwind and relax and have a good time. I did want to find out, again, about how many people are collectively involved in this year's show, just to get an idea of how much community involvement.
Usually there's about 100 altogether, from start to finish.
Okay, and the URL, the website for tickets and related information for Sheep Dip, Kevin?
Sheepdipshow.com.
Okay.
All one word, no spaces, no dots, no dashes, no nothing.
Terrific. We were talking about your latest musical venture, Baker Street. How long have you been involved in that, and what kind of music do you folks lean towards, and what kind of venues are you playing these days?
We formed the band in about 2007. It kind of came together just on its own, so to speak. I mean, Adrian Baker, who's the head of the band, was having a party, and I didn't know him. I got invited to his party, and I'm sitting at the piano, not playing it because I don't do that. He was playing it. I didn't know it was him at the time, and he's playing the song Georgia, and I remember sitting down and going, "Oh, I love that song. Would you sing it?" I didn't even know who he was. And he said, "No, I like to play it. I don't sing it. Do you sing it?" And I said, "Well, I don't yet even sure I remember the words, but I'll give it a shot." And I started singing it, and then he and I started talking. And then Simona Savoy came to a party, and she jammed with us and started talking. And then Werner Siepenkoffen, who was our violinist until 3 years ago when he died, started jamming with us, and he started talking. And then we formed a band. And so we've been playing in this area since 2008.
Wow. What kind of music are you generally focused on, or are you kind of a request type of band?
No, we do primarily 50s to early 80s rock and roll. Adrian Baker had his own top 10 hit band in England in the 70s. He spent approximately 20 years with the Beach Boys. He spent 3 years with Frankie Valli. He's got international professional chops, if you will, his entire life. He just celebrated a birthday. I won't say which one. He jokingly says that he is the age that Mike Love used to be, but he seriously though he has his entire adult life. He's only made a living from rock and roll.
Wow, that's interesting. Is his Beach Boys connection how he got to Northern Nevada? I know that at least one of the members is ensconced up in Incline Village when they're not on the road or recording.
Well, before he left the Beach Boys, Mike Love moved up to Incline and brought Adrian to Northern Nevada with him. Adrian's been here ever since, even after he left the Beach Boys.
Wow.
So we do rock and roll. Well, we do what I refer to as classic rock and roll.
And yeah, 50s through 80s. Any particular tunes that you guys like to do the most?
Boy, you know, it depends what week. You know, that's one of those things that changes from week to week. We have approximately 150 songs in our repertoire, and we are always adding music to it. We call ourselves a vocal harmony group because we pride ourselves on our harmonies. If I'm singing lead, the odds are Adrian and Simona and Dave Kress, who's our fourth, are doing harmony. If Adrian's singing lead, the odds are that we're doing harmony, and that's the way we try to do almost every song.
Okay, so among those 150 songs, there's a lead vocalist usually, but there's usually participation, you know, in the harmonies by the most, if not all, the other band members.
Correct.
Okay, how much in the way of electronics do you guys indulge in, or are these, you know, the classic tube amp? You know, Gretsch, Guild, Gibson, Fender types of instruments that you guys are playing the older tunes through.
Well, David plays acoustic guitar. Adrian plays keyboard and electric guitar. Right. He played electric guitar with the Beach Boys. Although with us, until 2 years ago, he only played keyboard. He kept saying, I want to be able to play guitar one of these days because he loves playing guitar. And so finally we were able to figure out how to do that and keep the music going. So, but he plays keyboard, electric guitar, and lead singer as well.
We've talked about the amount of rehearsal that you folks at Cheap Dip do, you know, over the years you've been involved with them. How much do you have to devote to rehearsal, adding new tunes? Do you have an agent? Let me ask you that. I mean, who books your shows?
Usually we do. Our band card has my cell phone number on it, Adrian's cell phone number on it, and people contact us, or they contact us through Facebook, or they contact us through various ways. We get a lot of communication at the venues we play at. We played last Friday night at the Midtown Wine Bar, and we had some people contact me as a result of that for possible performances. And you know, we've just never needed an agent. I suppose if one came along and wanted to get us performances, we would probably happily look at that, as long as we could make the right deal. The convenience of having a lawyer in the band is I could make sure the paperwork was right.
Absolutely, and I think that always helps because you know, a lot of good bands over the years have had you know, trouble, controversy, dissension, and disillusion in many instances over their representation, and that continues on to this day, not just through the 50s and 80s. I wanted to interject a correction that our engineer kindly gave us about the URL, the web link for the Sheep Dip Show. It is sheepdipshow.org.
Oh,
very consistent,
okay,
with your 501c designation.
Yes, it is.
I'm sure somebody had the presence of mind to avoid the .com and get into the .org, although that isn't an intuitive thing, particularly with members of the public. I did want to ask about your social media presence. If people wanted to find out more about Baker Street, could they just get on their Facebook account and search Baker Street, or how would you go about finding the band's own Facebook page, if there is one?
There is. Baker Street does have its own Facebook page. They can connect it directly, or they could connect it through Adrian Baker's Facebook presence or through my Facebook presence.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit more about Adrian Baker, and then the subject of this interview, Kevin Karp. You know, with someone as experienced, talented, and having as much depth as Adrian Baker, I can see why the name Baker Street came about. And I honestly had no idea before this show whether it had something to do with that old pop song of 30 years ago or so. Did not have a clue. Is there any anticipation that, well, let me back up and ask you, what's your favorite size venue?
Boy, it depends on the venue. Every summer, this will be the fifth year in a row, we've played it on the east side of Lake Almanor in July, and we play facing the lake. It's one of the more beautiful venues we've ever had the pleasure of playing at. At the same time, the Midtown Wine Bar is a fun place to play. The owners are very nice people, and it's a pleasure performing for them. There's other venues in town we periodically play at, Napa Sonoma as an example. We used to play regularly at the old Skyline Cafe when they existed, or at Hacienda when it was open, at McCarran and 7th Street, I think it was. So favorite venue. That's really hard, because every place has its own character, has its own pleasure that goes with it. Probably playing outside is the most fun.
And its own audience. I've got a neighbor who's got a home up at Lake Almanor, and I will remind him that I personally am acquainted with one of the band members who plays up there. I'm pretty sure that they do head out of Reno for those events, and I'm really glad that you're getting some regional notice. Obviously, there are a lot of good venues to play here in Reno, and that's really an increasing, that's really on the uptick with Midtown developing, gentrifying, and that sort of thing. We'll talk about Kevin Karp a little bit. You said that you've been performing since age 4 or 5. When and how did you get into music?
I got into musical theater when I was 5 years old. And my background is primarily musical theater, jazz, and opera. Never sung rock and roll until I met up with Adrian. It's been a lot of fun. But I just ended up as a child member of a repertory company when I was young and did musical theater my whole life. And then at some point realized that the odds of staying poor, which I grew up, staying poor as a performer were pretty large. So I wanted to do something where I could almost guarantee that I wouldn't spend the rest of my life in poverty, because I was already tired of it by then. And so I switched to what you and I do for a living, with the practice of law.
And it certainly appears to have been the better choice, and yet, just like they say in the old Godfather movies, every time I try to get out of performing, they pull me back in.
I'm lucky enough to have a wife who understands that performing is one part of my relaxation, and she enjoys it with me.
How often does Baker Street perform these days? Are you doing weekly gigs, or how is that panning out these days?
We usually work somewhere between 2 and 4 times a month.
Okay.
And which, with our rehearsals, which we do once a week, that's about as much time as I can devote without you know, having to remind my wife what I look like, you know.
I understand. I've you know, seen a lot of the promotional material on social media, and I'm glad that you're both a colleague, another arts proponent here, and able to join us on the Chip Evans Show today. Kevin, we'll get you back, and perhaps some of the other band members in the very near future, because you've got some fascinating stories to tell, and you're doing great things here in the community. Thanks again, Kevin.
Thanks for having me.